I want to speak to you about a subject that is in some ways connected to what I spoke to you about this morning. This morning we talked about a beautiful home. We talked about how, based upon God's principles, beautiful homes can be constructed. We made the observation that there are many magnificent houses, but within, sadly, many of those magnificent houses, there are some very ugly homes. But the Bible will help us to construct homes, not houses necessarily, but homes that are beautiful in nature. Well, I want to talk to you this evening for a few moments about the subject of leaving home. It has been observed already today and this evening as well that we have a number of our young people who are leaving home. I want to tell you how. Now, some young folks may say, all right, finally a sermon we can use. How do I get out of here? Well, I'm confident that that's not the feeling of those that are about to leave, but the fact of the matter is that some of our young folks are about to leave, and they need to know how. Some who are here with us on a regular basis are here because they have left home. And they've come here for whatever reasons, work, school, whatever. And they need to know how to leave home. Some are not leaving within the next few days, but at some point in the future will be leaving their home, maybe next year or within a couple of years in order to go to school someplace. And they need to know how to leave home. So I hope that this will be a lesson that's practical and helpful to you, because very frankly, it's not an easy thing to do to leave home. And in fact, it is oftentimes a dangerous thing to do, to leave one's home. There are many pitfalls that are associated with leaving home. And I believe the Bible depicts this for us in a number of different ways. A couple of instances I want to suggest to you is it describes for us how one can leave home in a wasteful fashion. The story of the prodigal son is a story that's quite familiar to many. In Luke, the 15th chapter, we read about this story that Jesus tells, and it's a story about leaving home. And you know the story of how Jesus tells of this man who had two sons, and one of his sons comes to him and says, to divide up the inheritance and give me what is mine, because this boy wanted to leave home. We call him the prodigal son. You know what the word prodigal means? I probably have already given it away. But a lot of people don't know what it means. I know that because many times when I've been away on vacation or I've been away at a meeting and I come back, and brethren will say, ah, the prodigal son returns. Well, I hope not. Prodigal, in the minds of many people, has come to mean just that, one who returns. And that's what they mean oftentimes when they talk about the prodigal son. You've come back. But that's not what the word means. The word prodigal literally means wasteful. And prodigality is simply wasting one's opportunities and wasting one's possessions or wasting one's life. And that's really the root of the story that Jesus tells of this prodigal son, this wasteful son. Look in verse 13 of Luke chapter 15, where Jesus says that not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country, and there he squandered his estate with loose living. There, having left home, having gone away, he wasted, he squandered everything that he had. We get something of a commentary on this in the story down in verse 30, because As Jesus tells the story, he says this man had two sons. And verse 30 contains a statement being made by the second son, the son who had stayed at home. And as Jesus relates this story, he describes this character as being one who's very resentful when this prodigal son has returned home and his father has welcomed him with open arms. And verse 30, the older son says that when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. You rejoiced. You celebrated when he came, in spite of the fact that he had wasted his life here in this distant country away from home. Now, a lot of times I've heard folks get into discussions, well, how did that elder brother know this? Well, there must have been some communication. And they get all kinds of suggestions. And I think a lot of times we lose sight of the fact that, folks, this is just a story. This didn't really, literally happen to a man who had two sons. Jesus is illustrating, certainly with a background of reality, I'm not saying that this never happens. It does happen. It happened to people in their lives back then. It happens to people in their lives here and now. But it's a story. And so let's not get too caught up in it trying to explain it as being something more than just an illustration that Jesus is making. And the point that he makes in the statement of this older son is he was aware, he was characterizing the wastefulness of his younger brother. Now that's one of the pitfalls of leaving home. One can leave home today and do so in such a similar way that as they are away from home, the opportunities that they have are wasted. Let me say this to you. There is certainly nothing wrong with leaving home. You really ought to. At some point in time, you ought to. And it's an exciting time. But it is also indicated a dangerous time. There are great possibilities. Now, it may not have been the best circumstances under which this boy could have left, but he did not have to waste his livelihood. He did not have to waste his opportunities. But he did choose to in the story as Jesus tells it. So learn this lesson from Jesus' story. Here's a danger. Those of you that are about to leave home, here's a danger that you need to be careful against. The pitfall of wastefulness. Don't go off and live a life wasting it in loose living or in this kind of prodigality. When you come back, let it not be said, oh, the prodigal son or daughter has returned. But now there's another way that one can encounter a pitfall in leaving home, and that is to do so in a willful way. You know, a lot of times what young folks do when they leave home, maybe there's been some kind of spat with their parents or some friction exists, and they say, well, I've had it up to here. I've had all I'm taking. I'm out of here. And they leave. There's a tragic story. Now, this is a real story. This is not an illustration that's being told. This is a story about a real person and how he left home in this willful way. If you turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 28, we'll read from the life of the man that we know as Esau. And you know how Jacob and Esau had a contentious relationship with one another. Jacob received the birthright that was Esau's, and then he received the blessing from his father Isaac that was to be Esau's. And so in Genesis chapter 28 we see where Isaac is giving instructions to Jacob and telling Jacob that he ought to leave and to go and find himself a wife. He was to leave because his brother Esau was ready to kill him. And so for safety's sake, Jacob is going to leave. But verse 1 says that Isaac called Jacob blessed him and charged him and said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. That is, there were people living around him, the Canaanites. And Isaac did not want his son to marry one of these. And so he sent Jacob to the homeland of his wife's people, to Padan Aram, verse 2 tells us. And there he was to select a wife from the place where his mother had come. Now then, as you continue on reading in the chapter, we begin to see the tragic story of Esau. And verse 5 says, then Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padan Aram, to Laban, son of Bethuel, the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. So Jacob goes to his uncle's house. Now look at verse 6. Now Esau, pay careful attention, Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take himself to himself a wife from there, and that when he blessed him, he charged him, saying, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to Padan Aram. Listen, verse 8. So Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan displeased his father Isaac. You know what the boy did? Look at verse 9. And Esau went to Ishmael and married, besides the wives that he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abram's son, the sister of Nebaioth. He saw something that displeased his father. And seeing that, he went off and did the very thing that displeased his father. He didn't go and take a wife from the wives or from the women in Padan Aram. He went, we're told Ishmael was the son of Abraham. And actually, at this point in time, Ishmael is already dead. Chapter 25 and verse 17 tells us about the death of Ishmael. So you see, what is being said here is that he was going to the people of Ishmael, to the descendants of Ishmael. Give you a parallel of this. Jacob's name is changed to Israel. And the people who descended from him came to be known as the people of Israel. The nation wears the name of the father of the nation. And that's what's happening here with Ishmael. It was a nation of people wearing the name of their father, Ishmael. And Esau went there in order to do what displeased his father. Now, it's not necessarily the purpose of every son or daughter who leaves home to spite or to rebel against their parents. And I think Jacob illustrates that. Jacob left home. Why? His father and his mother wanted him to leave and to go for his safety away from there and to find a wife that they could approve of. And so he left. It wasn't to displease. It wasn't displeasing to his parents. But the pitfall sometimes that young people may encounter when they do leave is that they leave with the intentions of wanting to displease, of wanting to hurt, of wanting to spite. I'll show them. And they go and do exactly what they know their parents do not approve of. We could go on and talk about other examples and other pitfalls, but I think that suffices to say that there is a danger that you need to be aware of when you leave home. But let's talk about how to leave home and to do it well, to do it in a fashion that doesn't displease parents, that doesn't spite parents, godly parents, and most importantly, that does not displease God. You can leave home and you can do it in a way that pleases the Lord and has His approval. The first thing I want to suggest to you is as we look at a number of examples of how people left home in a successful way. The first is one who left home with his purity. Do you remember there's a credit card advertisement that was popular that said, don't leave home without it? Well, I want to talk to you about several things that you ought to make sure when you leave home, you don't leave them behind. Here's the case of a man, a well-known case to us in Genesis chapter 39, a man named Joseph who left home. And you'll take note as we go through these that not every person in these accounts who left home did so willingly. Not every one of them wanted to go. Joseph is a good example. You remember the story of how there was animosity between himself and his brothers, and they were jealous and they hated him because of his favored status in his father's eyes. And they took him one day and they sold him off into slavery. And the slave traders took him down into Egypt, and down in Egypt he became a servant. So he was a young man who left home, not of choice, not willingly, but I want to tell you this, he left home well. He gives a good demonstration of how to leave home and how to leave home with one's purity intact. Verse 1 of chapter 39 says that Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. And if you drop down in the reading into the 11th verse, we see an event that takes place as Joseph is serving this man Potiphar. And in verse 11, it says, "Now it happened one day that he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the household was there inside. She," that's referring to Potiphar's wife, "caught him by his garment, saying, 'Lie with me.'" Now, the previous verses tell us that she had been enticing him to do this for some period of time. And now she grabs him by his coat or his garment, and she says, "Lie with me," insistently. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside. You remember the rest of the story, how Potiphar came home. She, because she had been spurned by Joseph, was angry. And so she tells her husband that this man had attacked her. And so Potiphar takes Joseph and throws him into jail. Now some would say, "David, you say he left well? He left home well? And here he is in jail? How can you say that ending up in jail is an illustration of leaving home well?" Well, it's because of why he was in jail. What got him there? What got him into trouble? Now, parents, we need to understand this as well as the young folks who are leaving need to understand this. Leaving home may sometimes end up meaning finding yourself in difficult circumstances. And it doesn't necessarily mean that your young person has failed in some way because they're in difficulty. Joseph was in jail and it wasn't one bit his fault. He did exactly what was right. He maintained his purity. I want you to think about this for a minute. Here's another aspect of the pitfalls of leaving home. Here's a young man who's left home. He's in a far off country. He's alone. He's there because his family betrayed him. There are many aspects of Joseph's leaving that could, in the minds of many people, justify him saying, "Well, look, here's some attention. This woman's willing to pay me some attention. And I just think I'm going to accept it." There are a lot of folks that would say, "Go ahead, Joseph." Now, when you leave home, you will find yourself in situations where you begin to feel lonely and you begin to feel a distance, the physical distance between yourself and your family. And someone may be willing to show you a little attention, but the attention that they show to you may come with ulterior motives. Joseph teaches us how to judge those motives, and he refused to acquiesce to this woman's approaches. He was determined to maintain his purity. Now, here's my point. Do you want to leave home and leave home well? then leave home with purity and maintain your purity. Now, some might say, well, David, you know, some people who leave home, it's too late for that. Some people, when they leave already, lost that purity. And I know that that's true. But may I say this to you? Take the occasion of leaving home, the new chapter in your life, the turning of the page. Take the opportunity that that affords for a new beginning. I'm sorry if this purity of life is something that you have lost before you've left home. But that does not mean that it must be something that does not characterize your life in this new phase. You've got a great opportunity for a new beginning. Take it. But I want to say to you that there's another way in which you can leave home and leave home well, and that is to leave with integrity. And to keep integrity when distant from your home. Turn your books to the great story of Daniel in the book of Daniel in chapter 1. And you know that Daniel was taken along with some of the other young Jewish youths into captivity. And they were taken to this Babylonian capital and put into the service of the Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar. And we'll begin the reading in verse 5, where the king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. I find it kind of interesting. What are they receiving? Again, it's not necessarily by choice, but what are they receiving? They're receiving education. Very much what some who are leaving us are leaving to receive. But I want you to notice how in these circumstances Daniel and others maintained integrity. Drop down to verse 8, if you will. Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Here's a young man. And I believe it's probably safe to say, in both the case of Joseph and of Daniel, we're talking about young men very near to the age of those of you that are going to be leaving to go off to college. And here's a young man, Daniel, again in this distant place, in a place where it could be very easy to say, as some would, well, hey, I'm not home anymore. The rules don't apply. I'll make my own rules. And there are a lot of young folks that do that. But what did Daniel do? Daniel said, no, there are rules that apply. They're God's rules. And it says he made up his mind. I'm going to give you a piece of advice. I hope you'll take it. Here is an easier way. I didn't say easy, but an easier way that you can maintain your integrity. You decide now, before you leave, you decide now that you're not going to defile yourself, that you're not going to surrender your integrity, that you're not going to give up the principles of God that you've lived by here when you go there. Now, here's my point to you. It's easier to maintain that if you make up your mind now and not wait until some occasion arises later when you're there. I think it's a great point for all of us, young and old alike, that Daniel determined first the principle by which he was going to live. He didn't wait for the circumstances to arise and then decide, well, what should I do here? What should I do now? He decided first. And he let the principle guide how he would respond to the circumstances. If you want to leave home and leave home well, then same thing. And you let the principles of God guide your life here, at home, and when you leave home. Now, there's a third thing that I believe we can learn about this and leaving well, and that is to leave with faith. To leave with our faith and to maintain our faith. Daniel chapter 3 is a story about three more young Hebrew men who were in Babylon. And in verses 16 through 27, we're not going to read them, but in those verses we're told the story of how the king determined that he was going to raise this great figure and decree that everyone in the kingdom would fall down and worship. Well, these three Hebrew young men said, no, we're not going to fall down and worship. We worship God. We worship the living God, the true God. And the word got back to the king about this, and the Bible tells us that he became very angry. And he had these young men brought in, and he demanded of them, is it true what I've heard, that you refuse to follow my directions? And they, in essence, said, yes, it's true. And we're not going to do it. And the king gave the command that they would be taken and cast into the furnace. And they were thrown into a fire. The fire was so hot that those men who took them to the furnace died when they got close enough to cast these men into the furnace. The Bible tells how the king came and he looked down into that furnace and he said, did we not throw in three? But yet I see four. And the fourth one is like to the Son of God. And they called them out of the furnace. And the Bible says that their clothes were not singed and that they did not have the smell of smoke on them. Someone has said they did not bend, they did not bow, and they did not burn. And that's exactly right. And what I'm saying to you is, if you want to leave home well, if you are presently a young man or young woman of faith, and take that faith with you, and do not bend, and do not bow, but you stand firm in the faith that you have. There's a great illustration of this in the New Testament. Acts chapter 16 tells us of a young man by the name of Timothy, who Paul encounters in his preaching journey. And this young man, Timothy, is respected greatly by the people of the congregation that was established there. And may I say this to you folks, you young folks that are leaving? I presume to speak the whole group here. They've known you much longer than I've known you. But in the 2 years that I've been here and have come to know you, I want you to know I respect you. Each one of you. Each one of you is leaving. But I want you to leave well. I want you to leave with your faith intact. I want you to leave with that faith that enables you to stand firm in whatever you're going to face without bending, without bowing, and without burning. There's still another example that we need to encounter when we talk about leaving well, leaving home well. That's the story in Acts the 8th chapter in the first 4 verses. And we read about those early Christians from the city of Jerusalem. And there was a great persecution that arose because of their faith. And we read in verse 4 that those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. I'll tell you what, you will never leave home well if you leave without God's word. If you don't take God's word with you, you're going to be a miserable failure. I don't care what you do in school, what kind of grade you make, what kind of job you get, what kind of success you have in your career. If you leave God's word, you're going to fail in this life. Brother Jake led us in a great song just before I. How shall the young secure And here's the answer. That 119th Psalm tells us in verses 9 and following that the young person who says, "Thy word have I laid up in my heart that I might not sin against you." The young person who leaves home and takes God's word with them in their heart, who lives by it, is going to be a success in this life. I don't care how poorly you do in school. I don't care if you get a quote-unquote dead-end job. If you don't leave God, if you don't forsake His Word, you'll be a success in this life. If you want to leave, don't leave them behind. My dad has a Bible that his mother gave him when he went off into World War II to serve in the Navy. I've seen this many times. It was by no means original to my grandmother. But she wrote in this Bible that she gave to my dad, "Son, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will from this book. Don't you leave this time." I'm not saying make sure it's in your suitcase. I'm telling you, make sure it's in your heart. And you keep it there. And it will keep you from disasters that can easily befall you when you leave home. Finally, I want you to remember, you don't leave home well if you forsake the fellowship of God's people. Acts chapter 9 tells us of a man who probably left home more so than any other person in the first century among God's people. And that's the Apostle Paul. I've seen some figures estimated that his travels that we read about in the New Testament add up to some 6,000 miles. And when you take into account that those are miles traveled by sailing ship or by foot or by riding a donkey somewhere, that's pretty tough miles. But in Acts 9, we read this man, a relatively new Christian at this point, verse 26, tells us that when he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples. But they were all afraid of him, not believing he was a disciple. And you know the background of this man, formerly a persecutor of Christians. They thought he still was. They wouldn't accept him. But then Barnabas, a respected brother among those Jerusalem Christians, speaks up on his behalf. And then verse 28 tells us that he, that is Paul, was with them, moving about freely in Jerusalem, speaking out boldly in the name of the Lord. You do not leave home well if you do not find disciples of the Lord to associate with, to make yourself a part of, to work with. That's what Paul was looking for in Jerusalem. And though they would not accept him immediately, when they did accept him, finally on Barnabas's admonition, he became a part of them and he worked with them, verse 28 tells us. When you leave here, wherever you're going, you find Christians, sound brethren, with whom you can join in the work of the Lord. Because if you leave here and you go there and you do no work there and you take no part there, you just open yourself up to those many pitfalls that await. And you'll find a great source of encouragement and of edification and of protection among God's people. And I'll tell you what, you may even get a home-cooked meal every once in a while. But you'll get something far greater than that. As you leave, know that you leave here with the love, the good wishes of this congregation, of these people that have watched you all grow up a whole lot longer than I have. But leave with the principles of God with you. It may be that some in our midst that are not Christians. And what we've talked about obviously hasn't pertained so much to becoming Christians. But we want you to know that God wants you to become one of His children. So much so that His Son, the Bible tells us how Jesus came and died on your behalf and my behalf so that your sins and my sins could be cleansed from us and we could be made a part of God's family. That can be done only by giving one's obedience to Jesus, who came and told men and women who believed that He is God's Son that they should turn from their sins, confess their faith in Him, and be baptized, washing the guilt of sins away, and then live their lives faithful, obedient, in service to Him. Would you do that while we stand and sing?